What's up, hockey fans? It's one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell. Apologize for the long delay between episodes. But hey, you know, sometimes that's how things shake out. Very excited for today's episode. I'll be joined in a few minutes by Phil Pritchard. Who's Phil Pritchard, you ask? Always only the keeper of the cup. That's right. Working at the Hockey Hall of Fame now for almost 40 years. Phil Pritchard will join me in a few minutes. He is essentially the Stanley Cup's main handler. You can follow him on Twitter at Keeper of the Cup. Today's episode of One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell, presented by Explore Minnesota. Explore Minnesota is your source for seasonal travel ideas, events, and places to stay. Winter fishing, cozy resorts, outdoor activities, and family togetherness create getaways that can be found only in Minnesota. Plan your true north adventures at exploreminnesota.com. And our guest today, again, Phil Pritchard, is brought to you by Fleet Farm. Fleet Farm, one of the newest Iowa Wild partners. Certainly glad to have them on board for the upcoming season. Fleet Farm is your holiday headquarters. Find gifts for everyone on your list, from the hunter to the handyman. Fleet Farm's Toyland is now open. You'll find thousands of the hottest toys this holiday season. Plus, holiday layaway is back. Get the products you want before they're gone and pay as you go. Christmas shopping just got easier. Fleet Farm, your one-stop holiday shop. Appreciate all of our great partners for the Iowa Wild. And looking forward to some hockey here soon, folks. February 5th cannot get here soon enough. If everything stays on track, that's the date for the return to play for the American Hockey League and your Iowa Wild. And Wells Fargo Arena, we've worked on a seating capacity that, well, I haven't done anything in that regard, but our great staff has worked behind the scenes to make sure we get a safe and socially distant. And as of now, folks, there are home games to be played at Wells Fargo Arena and seats to be had. For more information, visit iowawild.com. Wild 365 season ticket holders, of course, have already gotten tons of correspondence on how things will look. We continue to tweak it and make sure that we're going to give you guys the safest and best fan experience once we can drop the puck in the 2021 season. In this case, I guess really it's going to be the 21 season in some regards, since we're going to drop the puck in February. But certainly hope everyone out there is staying safe, staying patient with this whole process. We really hope to get back to playing hockey here soon at Wells Fargo Arena. The coaching staff is fired up. Chatted with Tim Army the other day. You guys know he's ready to go. And, of course, our great business staff behind the scenes working hard to make sure we get things in place for a possible return to play in the AHL on February 5th. And I really hope, folks, you know, I don't have a whole lot of updates for you. Not a lot to get into, but the NHL seems to be making great progress. The American Hockey League sort of in a waiting position, a wait-and-see mode. But you start to check some of those boxes, cross off some of those things on the list as far as COVID testing protocols and players coming back into certain markets, flying in from Europe, etc. The NHLPA and the owners working out some of the logistics and the financials. You start to cross off some of those things, and it gets really more real. It feels more real that hockey should be returning soon, and the American Hockey League will have some hurdles to jump and certainly some things to work through. But I think that the everything I've gathered, you know, behind the scenes stuff or the public knowledge things, is that we're moving in the right direction. We hope all of you are staying safe out there, and certainly keep those fingers crossed that we can get back to hockey here in February of 2021. One other quick reminder, holiday hat tricks are on sale. They're presented by Taco John's Iowa Wild Holiday Hat Tricks. Four flex tickets, one set of Iowa Wild winter gloves, one Iowa Wild winter hat, and of course, from Taco John's, one free potato ole and one free taco coupon, all yours for just $70, depending on the price range you're looking at ticket-wise, but starting at $70, get yours today, Iowa Wild Holiday Hat Tricks. My guest today on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell is none other than the man they call the Keeper of the Cup, Phil Pritchard. You can follow him on Twitter at Keeper of the Cup. He's been working at the Hockey Hall of Fame since 1988. Phil, it's a pleasure to chat with you. We've crossed paths way back in the day when the Stanley Cup came through Wells Fargo Arena once upon a time. And certainly great to have you on. I hope you're staying safe, and thanks for doing this today.
Hey, Joe, always a pleasure. I mean, anytime we can get out in that area, it's you always see the great hockey fans that Iowa and area have. It's been a tough time for everyone right now, but thankfully we're safe, and hopefully we might have some hockey. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan, right? Drop the puck as soon as it's safe and as soon as the NHL can get back underway. How would you describe the reaction of, you know, the large number of fans you come across when they walk into the room with the Stanley Cup, when they see the Stanley Cup for the first time? What's that like?
Well, you know what's amazing to me, Joe, and I don't think it matters whether it's the first time or their 50th time. It's always one of memories in that, because there's the whole history of winning the Stanley Cup is on there. All the names are engraved. The team names are on there, dating all the way back to 1893. So I think if you can sum it up simply, it'd be a real powerful emotion, because there's happiness because they see their heroes. There's memories because they remember their games or stuff like that. But there's always something, and I think that's what makes it special. And hockey has that bond with its fans like no other sport. So it's a great way to connect as well.
Now, from what I read, the Cup started traveling in the summertime to the winning teams back in 1995. What brought that about?
Well, you know what? I mean, you're right there. It was 25 years ago now, and it was the New Jersey Devils. They were the first team that actually every player on the team had the opportunity to take it home. And it was, I wish I could say it was a starting point. It kind of evolved over time. If you look back into the 80s and the New York Islanders, the Edmonton Oilers had the dominant teams then, they would take it back to either Long Island or Edmonton and celebrate there with their fans for a while. And then it would come back to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And yeah, Wayne Gretzky brought it to Brantford for his tennis tournament or his fundraiser in softball or something like that, but not everyone got the opportunity to do that. And then the Penguins won back-to-back in the early 90s, and Mario Lemieux wanted to take it back to Montreal area. And because of that, Paul Coffey wanted to bring it back to Toronto area. So you could see this, I don't know, this evolution starting that guys wanted to take it home. And in 93, which was actually the 100th anniversary of the Stanley Cup, the Montreal Canadiens won. And they toured Quebec, and they did a little tour because it was the 100th anniversary, and the Montreal team were the first team to win it, and then they were the 100th anniversary team to win it. So they did a tour of that, but there was a couple of guys that didn't live in Quebec. John McLare was out of Vermont. Kirk Muller was out of Ontario. So we ended up taking the cup to those guys. And again, that evolution started. The next year, New York Rangers won, and they had a lot in New York and the Big Apple, but guys wanted to take it home too. So working with the commissioner of the NHL and the trustees of the Stanley Cup and the Hockey Hall of Fame, we got it all approved through the board that every player and every person on the team got the opportunity to take it home. And you know what? When it started with the Devils in 95, it became like an all of a sudden, an instant tradition. And here we are 25 years later, and guys love that opportunity to share it with their teammates, which are not the teammates when they wear the jersey. It's their family teammates, their spouses, their mom and dad, their coaches, their teachers. And I think that's what makes it great.
That 93 year had to be pretty special for you. I understand you were a Montreal Canadiens fan growing up. What was that like?
Yeah. I mean, I was a Canadiens fan growing up, and living in Ontario and being in the Toronto area, most people are Toronto fans, but I remember my first game, and I was a Montreal one, and I became a Montreal fan. So there we are in 1993, and the Canadiens win, which was really special, a lot of French-Canadian teams. But what I tell everyone now, I just hang out with the winners, no matter who that is. They're my favorite team, so... So it's always special, always unique, different cultures, different foods, different traditions. But I think the best tradition in hockey now is the one with the Stanley Cup and turning around.
The next time a Canadian team wins the Stanley Cup, what do you think that's going to be like?
Well, you know what? I mean, there's 31 NHL teams now and going on 32 with Seattle starting in a year. Seven of them are Canadian, so they've got about a 25% chance to do it. The teams they're playing well in that. I think it'll be extra special. I mean, Toronto has gone 53 years now. The Canadiens have gone 27. The Oilers are in the 30s, Calgary's 30s. Winnipeg and Vancouver have yet to win it yet. So I think for the fans, it would be very special. But as they always tell you, there's always guys from Canada on other teams, so they get to share in that spotlight as well. And as you know, in no matter what league it is, there's always Canadian hockey players around somewhere and filling in the gap as a team player in that. So they're always involved, but I think it'll be extra special whenever that does happen.
You mentioned Seattle a moment ago. That'll certainly be a great endeavor for the league and obviously a new market, new fan base. Have there been any initial talks with the Kraken about getting the cup out there before they drop the puck?
Well, you know what? I mean, it's funny because those that are follow of hockey a lot, Seattle used to have a team in the 1910s, 20s, and they actually won the Stanley Cup as the Seattle Metropolitans. So they have a good hockey history. The Western Hockey League, they had a couple of teams there for years and years and years.
Yep, the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, the Thunderbirds. They had the Breakers for a while. They had the Seattle Totems. So they have a good hockey base there. We've had actually over the past 3 years, we've taken the Stanley Cup out twice to see how the fans reacted and things like that. Now that the Kraken are there, they are really big into building tradition, building the history of hockey in Seattle, and we're working with them close. So, hey, we'll see what happens. I mean, we're still over a year away before they drop the puck in Seattle and see the Kraken on the ice, but I think it'll be good. It's the great hockey market out there, that whole West Coast from Vancouver all the way down to Anaheim. There's lots of hockey.
Follow him on Twitter, at Keeper of the Cup. Phil Pritchard from the Hockey Hall of Fame joining me here one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell. How many days in a, you know, sort of a normal year are you with the Stanley Cup? Are there other handlers of the cup as well?
Yeah, you know what, Joe, it's funny. We have to use the normal year now because obviously this year is a totally different one. But in a traditional year, I'm usually on the road somewhere between 150 and 180 days a year and promoting hockey, whether it's through taking the cup home for the winners or charity events or like we came up to you guys a while back for a mini tour and that. And I'm not the only guy. There's a couple other guys that travel as well. And I think for all of us, if you'd ask any of us, would we rather be playing the game? Guaranteed. Every one of us would say for sure. But hanging out with a cup, it's a pretty good travel partner, and it always gets a lot of attention. So it's great to go to any hockey event, see smiles on their faces, and bring back a lot of memories.
How well would you do in a Stanley Cup trivia quiz? Like, do you know all the dimensions, the height, the weight, the diameter, all those things?
Well, I'm hoping I would do okay.
Yeah.
I know there's the super fans out there that study in that, but I guess in anyone's profession, if you're good at it, you should do okay. And I've been around 32 years now in the Hockey Hall of Fame and 6 years before that with the Ontario Hockey League and Canadian Hockey League. So I'm pretty good on the hockey history, and my buddy, the 3-foot-high Stanley Cup, is always with me in the room, so it's always neat to see different things on there and that and add to the historical part of it. So,
what's your favorite part of the actual trophy, if you could pick one?
Well, I think for me, two things. It's not really called the Stanley Cup. The official name is the Dominion Hockey Challenge Bowl, and Stanley Cup has become its nickname, and for those that follow football, it's like the Super Bowl and Lombardi Trophy, the same one, but they have a nickname. Well, hockey's is the same as well, but no one ever calls it the Dominion Hockey Challenge Cup. But that's what it was originally was when Lord Stanley donated it. So nowhere on there does it actually say Stanley Cup, which to me is pretty unique. And I think the other thing about it is it's the world's biggest shot glass. And if you ask any of the winners once they fill it up and share it with friends, you've got over 200 ounces coming out. It's kind of like Niagara Falls being poured on your head. But to me, that it really ties in family and all of that when they're sharing it with their grandfathers or dads or coaches or things like that.
Were you ever concerned for the Cup's well-being? And I ask this because there's a lot of stories and fables, and you were there, about the 1999 Dallas Stars and the party they had.
Yeah, I was there. And you know what? I mean, Dallas is Texas is a great hockey market. They love the game. They love the speed of it and that. But yeah, it was a unique summer. But I think in most cases, Joe, hockey fans are very respectful. They get the tradition. They understand the superstitions. They love the history of it all. So 99 out of 100 times we're in safe areas. sure, we're at parties sometimes, and people get a little carried away with drinking too much, but that could be at a wedding. It could be at anything. So we always have to keep our eyes on with that, but common sense kind of dictates everything.
Do you get many fans that don't want to touch it because of the superstition that you shouldn't touch it till you win it?
Yeah. You know what? I love that superstition. But, yeah, fans, they got to touch it. They got to get their photo with it, touch it. And it's funny. You talk to players that have won the Stanley Cup, and there's a few of them that actually have touched it when they were a kid.
Right.
And their dreams have come true. So for that superstition, it's kind of pretty cool because a lot of people honor it. A lot of people will think it's all hogwash. But at the end, hey, if you get a chance to get a photo of the Stanley Cup, I'm all for it.
What was the Tampa Bay Lightning's boat parade like? You know, we just talked about this not being really a normal year, a COVID world right now, all the safety measures in place, and I noticed that the Lightning took to the water to try and space everybody out for their parade.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it was amazing, first of all. Secondly, there's not a lot of cities that can pull off a boat parade in the bay, and obviously in late fall in Tampa, it's still beautiful weather, so they're able to do so. And the idea was that, I mean, to have the players with a cup in the parade and people could be walking by the Riverwalk and see it. And I think the thing they kind of didn't realize and realized it after is how many hockey fans there are in Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota area. They all took the day off and all came out to witness this. What started as a 40-boat parade, it ended up to be an 84 boats because the public all joined in on the boats as well. But for me, it was one of my first to see a Stanley Cup parade on the bay.
Has the travel been different for you guys? I mean, I'm assuming way less than a normal year. I mean, walk us through sort of the travel, given the outbreak and the restrictions and all these things, and how you guys have tried, especially in a condensed now off season with the bubble set up and winning the Stanley Cup well past when it would normally be handed out. How has that all been different this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously COVID-19 has created havoc on a lot of things, and sports included. But, you know, working with the NHL and that and creating that bubble in both Toronto and Edmonton, they made it work, and came down to Tampa and Dallas. And what was really cool, I thought, was that when Tampa won, they celebrated with their hockey family, the guys in the dressing room, the guys that sit beside them in the stalls. And that made it very personal and very intimate in the dressing room. And that there wasn't a lot of media. There wasn't family and friends there. There wasn't staff people and anything like that. It was just the 52 guys that the team brought. So that made it really intimate. When we flew back from Edmonton to Tampa and arrived, the fans were there, obviously, and the families were there, and they had been gone for 65 days. So it was great for the guys to connect and reconnect with their family and kids and spouses and things like that. So that was really special. But you're right. We haven't had the opportunity because of quarantine issues, and not only in the States, but in Europe and in Canada, to be able to travel a lot right now. So a lot of it's been done in Tampa. And, hey, it's December now, and you ask anyone up north that if they want to go to Florida for a week and attend a Stanley Cup party, a majority of people are going to put up their hand.
Yeah.
So a lot of the guys have brought family and friends down to Tampa, and they've made a little vacation out of it, got a Stanley Cup party out of it too, and enjoyed the sun and the weather down in Florida. So from that way, it's been good. I mean, obviously, we have all the procedures and having COVID tests daily and temperature checked everywhere we go and all of that, and making sure everyone is safe and sound. Because at the end of it all, regardless if it's hockey, school, whatever, we want to make sure everyone's safe and healthy.
How long were you and the cup in the bubble for?
So I actually started in the bubble in Toronto, but I was in the secondary bubble, so I got to go home at night, but I couldn't go anywhere. And then I flew to Edmonton at the beginning of September. So the entire month of September for the later part of the playoffs and the semifinals and final, I was in there. So I think it was 42 days or something like that. I know I've had 44 COVID tests.
Wow.
So it's somewhere in
yeah.
there. They've all been negative, Joe, so I'm good.
Well, that's great to hear. Phil, what was the most impressive part about, you know, sort of seeing it from the outside in some ways, but obviously being part of the whole operation, now that you look back on it, the fact the NHL was able to pull it off, what stands out the most?
Well, I think there's two things. For me personally, when Craig Campbell and I walked the cup out onto the ice on the red carpet, the sounds of the guys skating on the ice, it was unbelievable. Just you could hear it so clear when they were pushing off or skating around with the cup. That sound of pure hockey for me was really exciting. So that was one thing personally. But I think from a professional point, there was only about 200 people in the bubble, including Dallas and Tampa, and then the people that made it work. So it became a very intimate business setting. You got to know everybody. We were all in it for the same reason. We had all given up time with our family to make this work. And I think it just shows how much people adore the game of hockey and everything about it, because we were all in this to make it work, and it worked. And sure, it had a bit of hardship to that, and people are away from that, but they got a Stanley Cup champion, well-deserved as well. And the game marches on, and fingers crossed there's going to be a new season, and we'll see what happens.
Great perspective. Really appreciate you sort of giving us that insight, Phil. Give our listeners now, if you would, a couple of spots, destinations, places where you would have never have been if it wasn't for taking the cup there for a celebration or an event or those sorts of things. Does anywhere jump out?
Anything at any time, you mean?
Yeah, you know.
Well, a few years ago, the National Hockey League ventured to China to have exhibition games over in Beijing, because the Olympics are coming in 2022 and they wanted to get the atmosphere of that. We did bring the Stanley Cup there, and I got a chance to go on the Great Wall of China with the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
And for those that have never been to the Great Wall of China, that first word, great, it is, because it is unbelievable. Probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life is walking that thing. I actually, Joe, I thought I was in pretty good shape physically, but I'm not. I mean, how they walk that thing is unbelievable. So that was really neat. But I think given the opportunity to take the cup back to some of these guys' hometowns, and as we know, hockey is not a big city home. I mean, it's usually the small towns for the guys, whether it's northern U.S. or across Canada or wherever. It's always small town things. So it's bled Slovenia for Anzi Kopitar, or it's northern Saskatchewan for guys from the St. Louis Blues, or Duluth, Minnesota, or whatever. So the chances of going to those little towns and meeting the people and hearing their stories, without hockey being part of it, I don't know if I ever get that chance. But if you need a salesperson to promote those towns, I'm the guy, because the relationships I've made over the years, and the people, and how friendly and how nice they are, I mean, it's incredible. And I'd recommend all those hockey spots to anybody that's into it.
When you're in Toronto, do you have to ever buy a beer? Like, if you walk into a pub or a sports bar, you get recognized and people are like, yep, this round's on me, Phil, don't worry about it?
Well, I'm going to share a secret with you, Joe. I get recognized by men all the time, but never women. I don't know why. Not fair.
You got to start bringing the cup with you.
Yeah, maybe. And then their boyfriends will show up, too.
Good point. The biggest party that you think you've been at with the cup, whether it's sheer number of people, biggest celebrities, does anything kind of take the leader in the clubhouse?
A couple of them, actually. Timo Solani in Helsinki, Finland. He had a big celebration in Town Square in Helsinki. That was unbelievable. Ruslan Fedotenko took it back to the Ukraine, to Kiev. And I was shocked at how many people were there, but it just goes to show you how important hockey is to Ukrainians. Celebrity-wise, I think Chris Chelios, probably, with Detroit. He has a place in on the ocean down in California, just outside of Redondo Beach. And he's got some high-end celebrity neighbors, like Sylvester Stallone and John Cusack and guys like that, Kid Rock. So it's pretty cool to see them come, because sure, they were there because the Stanley Cup there, but they were there because their friend had an accomplishment and he invited them. So it was, they were there as respecting Chris Chelios, and that was pretty cool.
How about the most unique photo shoot with the Cup?
Wow. I'll give you two, actually, and they both have to do with mountains. Scott Niedermeyer in Rocky Mountains in Cranbrook, British Columbia. He went to the highest peak in the Rockies, and we had a helicopter lower him down, and then we gave the Cup to him, and we flew away and took the shot of him overlooking Cranbrook, British Columbia, which is an amazing shot. And then Philip Grubauer, a couple years ago, Washington's second goalie, is from the Bavarian Mountains outside of Munich in Germany, and he went mountain climbing with it. And going up the peaks of the Bavarian Mountains with the Stanley Cup, it's something that's a surreal moment that you actually wouldn't think you'd be in the Bavarian Mountains in Germany with the Stanley Cup. So for me, those photo ops, those moments were are engraved in my memory probably forever.
Do you ever have to like sign a waiver or be like, hey, listen, I don't know that I can go, you know, deep sea diving with the Cup? I mean, has there been something where you've gone, you know what, I just can't do this with the Cup?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's theory or rules about it, is be respectful of the Stanley Cup and hockey will be respectful to you. So as long as you're respectful for it, I'm in for it. If it's something that disrespects the game or the trophy or the sport, we're not going to do it. And that those are my simple rules. And when you explain that to a player, they get it. Because they've worked their lifetime towards this.
Yeah.
And they want to remember it forever.
When the Stanley Cup final is clinched in overtime, how chaotic is it to get that thing out there for the presentation?
I mean, you can ask me, but you're probably best to ask the Stanley Cup to see what it's feeling, because it is. Chaotic's probably the perfect word, Joe, because it's game seven, overtime. Anything can happen. You know it's going to happen, but then it does happen, and it's still chaotic. And I think that's what makes sport what it is, because anything can truly happen. But that moment, we get the red carpet out, and the PA announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, the Stanley Cup. I think it's pure joy for hockey fans, hockey players, and everything hockey around the world.
What's the engraving process like for the Cup? How long is it gone? Do you have anything to do with that other than just essentially making sure it gets shipped off?
No. I it's done in old Montreal, actually. It's been a family tradition for years. And I think what's amazing about it is it's hand-stamped, each letter, which means, so if your name is going on, they stamp the J, then the O, then the E. And it makes it that tradition so much more. And it takes about 10 days, Joe, to get it done. And it's amazing, I think, when it's done. And we obviously see it before the team does, because we pick it up. So we see it. But then when we go back to the city and they have a little party where everybody gets to see their fam name on there, and they become part of the union of a Stanley Cup champion, it's so powerful. It's so emotional. They're there with their mom and dad or their wives or brothers and sisters, and they see their last name on there. It's more than just their name. It's their family's name, and that you can't take away from anyone.
How did you get your start at the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Well, you got to be a terrible hockey player and decide to go into the... behind the scenes part. But as mentioned earlier, I used to work at the Ontario Hockey League and the Canadian Hockey League, and I got the opportunity to work at the Hockey Hall of Fame. My background is sports admin, but I was a big hockey historian growing up and into statistics and that. So it kind of fell right into me. I think if someone would have asked me when I was 16, if 8 years from now we're going to pay you to read hockey news and read programs and go to hockey games, you think, are you kidding? But you know what? It all works in a weird way. And I think no matter what you do in this world, if you love getting up in the morning, you got the best job in the world. And I think I'm one of them, and you're probably one, Joe, and a lot of people out there that think the same way.
Now, your full title, your real title, it's not Keeper of the Cup. You got a professional title, Vice President and Curator, the Hockey Hall of Fame. So give our listeners some other artifacts, some other trophies or memorabilia at the Hockey Hall of Fame that may be some of your favorites.
Yeah, it's a fancy name for a collector, I guess. But the Hockey Hall of Fame itself, we have probably 3 million artifacts, which means negatives, video, photos, obviously sticks, jerseys, all of that stuff. The special ones to me is our Stanley Cup ring collection. And we have Calder Cup rings. We have Riley Cup rings. We have Kelly Cup rings, NCAA championship rings, Memorial Cups. But our Stanley Cup ring collection dates back to 1893 when the first Stanley Cup was awarded. And they get that as a token of winning the Stanley Cup. And for people that have visited the Hockey Hall of Fame, they know when you go in the Great Hall and walk into the vault of the Stanley Cup and see all those rings and how impressive it is, that's pretty special. But I also love the way the equipment has evolved over the years from the early 1900s and now into the 2000s and how it's changed and how it's made the game faster, quicker, and how technology has evolved through the jerseys and the AirNet jerseys and all of that. And it's made the game safer. It's made it faster. I think it's made it more entertaining. And if you ask any of the players, they love it.
The cool thing for me, you know, I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame a bunch. In fact, when we used to travel to Toronto to play the Marlies when I was in Houston or early years in Iowa, we haven't played the Marlies now in a bit, but I would always try and take a trip in there, even if it was for an hour, to buzz around. And even if you're seeing the stuff you've seen before, there's just something about it. Like you mentioned, walking into the vault and, you know, whether it's the Jennings Trophy or the Conn Smythe or the Montreal Canadiens locker room that's set up or the video room where you can watch old highlights. I mean, I'm always blown away by the nostalgia in there. And you and I were talking before we started the interview about the Hockey Hall of Fame being closed right now. It was open for a bit over the summer. So give our fans a little glimpse into sort of how you guys are trying to work through this process. And obviously the paying customers, the patrons, are what keep you guys moving along.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it's been tough not only for us but for everybody. COVID has put a real damper in our lives. We did have the opportunity to be open for a few months in the summer, but then Ontario has gone back into a lockdown, so we are closed again now, and our numbers hopefully are getting tamed and lower down. But yeah, we have 85,000 square feet of hockey history there. So when you said, Joe, you get the opportunity to come in and maybe you see some things over and over again, but there's always new things. And the great thing about hockey is hockey history is happening every day. As we talked about earlier, the ECHL, your affiliate team down in Texas and Allen are starting up tonight. So
yeah,
Hockey history is on its way again. And I think that's what's great. I mean, when we got the opportunity to come to Iowa on that mini tour a few years ago to go to some of those rinks and see the history there, well, they all have their own little hockey hall of fames in a way. And we're there to preserve the game at any level, any league worldwide. Fans are invited from anywhere to come and see it and relive magic moments. I think all museums and all Hall of Fames are there for their history. You learn from your history, whether it's good or bad things you learn from. And I think the museums are very educational for people, and hockey's no different.
Is there a replica of the Stanley Cup that's always present at the Hockey Hall of Fame? This is one thing that I kind of feel like I've known and then I've questioned myself on. Is there just the one cup? Is there a promotional one? How does all that work?
Well, there's only one of me, but there are two Stanley Cups. There's the real one that the guys win, that they won at Edmonton, and we took to Tampa. And then there is one that's always on display at the Hockey Hall of Fame. That was made in 1993, actually. And it was made on the 100th anniversary of the Stanley Cup, and it was prepared and produced because people would come to the museum expecting to see the Stanley Cup, and
sure,
it might be on the road, and it kind of tied in with the players traveling with the cup. So we wanted people to get that experience when they come to the museum, and we let people know that, hey, this is the replica. The real one is in, you know, wherever we are right now in the Midwest or whatever it might be. And I think people can appreciate that. And that, but I think tradition of the real Stanley Cup is the one that the guys win and the one they take home and thank their coach.
So the authentic one, for lack of a better term, is the one that does the traveling, that would be handed out, that may come to a local rink near you, and then
Correct.
The replica one's always in Toronto.
Correct, yes. So you've had it at your rink.
Now, the rings, Phil, how often do they get replaced? Because I know that over time you run out of space, and the old rings are always at the Hockey Hall of Fame. And how many years does it take for that?
Well, every 13 years we have to remove a band. And those are all on display, as you said, as you go into Lord Stanley's vault, the whole history of the Stanley Cup and the evolution of it and how it works and everything. But unlucky 13 might be there in a lot of things, but 13 for hockey, it's the amount of teams that are on each band on Stanley Cup. So they are on there, like the Tampa Bay Lightning are on the bottom ring now, and there's 5 rings for them to slowly move up. So every 13 years they'll move up and slowly go to the top of the wide ring on the cup. So it's a pretty cool evolution. It's a pretty cool format on how it works. But like I said earlier, once they're on there, they're part of the Stanley Cup Union forever.
More than 120 years of tradition, 37 pounds or so, give or take. The Dominion Hockey Challenge Cup, as Phil alluded to earlier, the Stanley Cup as it's better known, and times I'm sure Phil Pritchard's best friend. Leave you with this, my friend. Your time on social media, at Keeper of the Cup on Twitter. You're always posting photos and updates and things of that nature. What drives you on the social media world, and do you enjoy being on Twitter and interacting with fans?
Yeah, you know what is great? I mean, obviously social media is a huge part of our life now with cell phones and that. But I think the great part about it is we can share some neat things, some history, some trivia and that, but be able to connect back and forth on social media with fans, with whether it's questions or where we're going to be or things like that. So we've got a pretty good platform on Twitter and on Instagram and TikTok now at Keeper of the Cup at all of them. And I try and keep up on and all of them and sending out unique photos and things like that. And, you know, you never know where you'll run into people, hockey fans. And again, for hockey fans, they'll never know when they run into the Stanley Cup too. So there's always a way to follow.
On TikTok.
Yeah. I have no idea what I have no idea what I'm doing, but I always figure the Hockey Night Canada theme song is a good one to put on.
I was going to say, I don't know much about that platform. I know it's for a generation certainly younger than me.
Yeah, me as well.
That's great stuff right there. Phil, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for making this work. I hope you and your family stay safe, and we all hope we drop the puck here shortly and certainly get fans back in the arena to hand out the Stanley Cup a bit more properly next year. And again, thanks for doing this.
Anytime, Joe. We look forward to it. And, hey, hopefully we'll get out that way again and get to a wild game and go from there. And best of luck with you guys, and happy holidays.
Really awesome stuff there from Phil Pritchard from the Hockey Hall of Fame. Appreciate his time greatly, taking a trip down memory lane with the Stanley Cup, from the boat parade just a couple of months ago with Tampa Bay, all the way back to some stories from the 90s, reminiscing things. Certainly learned some stuff about the Stanley Cup, and it was great to share some of those memories with Phil Pritchard. I encourage all of you, if you haven't been to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, it's just such a great place to visit, especially if you're a hockey fan, if you've got kids. Take a trip up there with buddies, whatever the case is. Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, once they get back open, certainly an outstanding time. You could spend 4, 5, 6 hours in there easy and probably feel like you rushed a bit. So recommend any hockey fan out there to check out the Hockey Hall of Fame. Take a trip up north of the border and spend some time in Toronto there at the Hockey Hall of Fame. All right, I had a lot of fun today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Stay tuned to iowawild.com. and our social media platforms as we try and bring you the most updated information on the American Hockey League and a potential return to play. And, of course, the NHL and the Minnesota Wild looking to start off kickoff at some point in January as well. That does it for today's episode. Again, happy holidays to all of you. Really appreciate everybody tuning in to One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. Till next time, stay safe and happy holidays.